Tasha Torres. I'm a spinning teacher, a recovering academic, and the founder of Sheep Spot, where we're on a mission to revolutionize spinning education by using the power of online courses and communities to help spinners make more yarns they love and enjoy every step of the process. These days, I can make just about any yarn I can imagine, but believe me, I was not a natural spinner. Now, many skeins and handspun projects later, spinning allows me to express myself creatively and quiet my mind no matter how crazy the world around me gets. I created this podcast to give you both a clear strategy to become a skilled, confident, and versatile spinner, and lots of quick, actionable tactics that will level up your yarn making quickly and easily. If you're an inquisitive hand spinner, you are in the right place. And I'm so glad that you're here. Finding the perfect match between that handspun yarn you're so proud of and the perfect way to use it is complicated and it takes practice. That's why within the framework of the pillars of skillful spinning, I think about working with handspun as a meta pillar. To do it really well requires understanding a bunch of other pillars: drafting, plying, fiber prep, and in some cases, color management as well. And even now, after spinning and knitting with handspun for 15 years, I still sometimes screw it up. And in this episode, I'm going to share three mistakes I have made repeatedly when using my handspun. Hello there, darling sheep spotter. Welcome to episode 97 of the Sheep Spot podcast. I'm Sasha, and my job is to help you make more yarns you love. Now, I want to start by saying that the title of this episode, of course, is a shout out to the Knit More Girls segment on their podcast. They call it When Knitting Attacks. So hi to Jasmine. Hi, Gigi. And I just couldn't resist borrowing it because it's so funny. But it would actually be more accurate to say that I've been the one doing the attacking by just making bad choices about how to use my handspun yarn. The poor yarn is just doing what I tell it to. It's been completely blameless in all of the cases that I'm about to describe. And so my hope is that I can help you avoid similar situations. So mistake number one, and I alluded to this in the last episode. Mistake number one, which I've made more times than I can count, matching a busy multicolored yarn with an equally busy stitch pattern. Will I ever learn? I've been guilty of this many times, but I think the most serious offense was my stitch sampler shawl, and I will put a link to the Ravelry page for this project. The stitch sampler shawl, which I have to say very slowly and precisely, because otherwise it just becomes a blur. My stitch sampler shawl is, as the name would suggest, a stitch sampler. And I chose it because I can get a little bored when working on, you know, big pieces of cloth. And I thought, oh, stitch sampler, that means things will be changing and it'll have, you know, it'll keep my attention. But for reasons that are now opaque to me, I decided to pair it with a Rambouillet yarn from Three Waters Farm in a colorway called Birds in the Holly. Beautiful colorway. And indeed, all of Marianne's colorways are gorgeous. So if you don't know Three Waters Farms, you should absolutely check them out. Anyway, so I had this yarn. I had spun it from this colorway. I really, really liked the yarn a lot. And the result is that you can't really, I used it for this very busy sampler shawl. And the result is that you can't really see the stitch pattern very well. And you can't really see the yarn very well. There's just too much going on visually. So rather than supporting each other, the stitch pattern and the yarn are actively kind of competing with each other. And this is why I like to look at other handspun projects when I'm selecting a pattern. And for more on how to do this on Ravelry, see the previous episode. But as I said in that episode, I now make a point of looking at how the yarn and the stitch pattern are interacting. Since I started doing this, installing this as kind of an element of my checklist of things that I do when I'm picking patterns, looking at the handspun projects and seeing how they look with a stitch pattern. I have made some projects in which the stitch pattern and the yarn have worked together really well. And my favorite recent example of this is my 3-cubed shawl, which I'll put a picture of it in the show notes. I made this with a 3-ply yarn in which each of the plies is spun from a different colorway. And in this case, also 3 different colorways from Three Waters Farm. That's why it's called the 3-cubed shawl, because there are 3 plies, 3 colorways, and 3 waters. I used Rachel Smith Anderson's Garter Vanilla Shawl recipe, which is, FYI, a great pattern. And in this triangular shawl, the stitch pattern and the yarn colors work together really beautifully. They enhance each other rather than competing for each other for attention. So, mistake number 1, busy yarn, busy stitch pattern. Mistake number 2, ignoring yarn structure. So, in my early spinning days, I became pretty obsessed with triangular shawls, and I made 3 different hand-spun shawls using Laura Chow's simple but effective shawl pattern. What can I say? I enjoy repetition. I find it soothing. So anyway, in all 3 cases, I elected to put some eyelets in some of the rows just to liven things up, which would have been great if I hadn't, again, in all 3 cases, used a 3-ply yarn. 3-ply yarns do not show eyelets well. It's just a thing about the structure of 3-ply yarns. If you want the holes in lace to really show, for the love of all that's holy, use a 2-ply. I knew this, and I didn't do it. And then I did it again, and again. What was I thinking? I can't remember. Good news is that it only took me 3 tries to learn this lesson, and I have not done it since. So, for certain kinds of fabric, especially lace and cables, it really is worth spending a moment thinking about whether the yarn you want to use is going to produce the best results. For lace, go with a 2-ply. For cables, go with 3 plies and up. Mistake number 3, wrong fiber for intended use. This too is something that I do over and over again, and I think I still haven't fully learned my lesson on this one. My hope is that by talking about it on the podcast, I will break myself of this tendency. But so I do this. I have done this many, many times. And here's the thing: there are very few fibers that I can comfortably wear around my neck. More particularly, there are very few wools that I can wear around my neck, which is a bummer because, as you may have suspected by now, I really love wool. Love to spin it, love to knit with it. And in fact, I love wool so much that I cannot seem to get through my head the fact that I cannot wear most wools around my neck. I just can't. And I think that there's some part of me, as like a person who has advocated a lot for rare breeds in the past, there's a part of me that's secretly ashamed of the fact that I cannot wear most wools around my neck. Like it's some kind of character flaw or something. Like I should have a tougher neck. And because I haven't fully embraced my sensitive neck situation, I keep knitting up fine wools into things to wear around my neck, and they keep being prickly, and then I don't wear them. And I literally, I probably have 10 hand-spun, hand-knit projects in my mudroom right now that are either cowls or scarves that I do not wear because they're too prickly. And I can't bear to part with them. And I can't bear to wear them. I've even discovered now that there are some cashmeres I can't wear around my neck. And some kiviets as well, which is kind of amazing. So if there's a larger lesson here, besides the lesson that I am extremely stubborn, it's to know yourself and then to actually act on that knowledge, to try the yarn around your neck for an hour before you knit it into a cowl. If you know you don't really like the depth of the armholes on that vest, maybe try a different pattern. If you never go anywhere dressy and using what you make is important to you, maybe don't spend months on a beaded lace shawl. Knit for the preferences, the life, and the body you actually have rather than for the ones that you secretly wish you had. Now, I have learned a ton from every single one of these projects, and even though I've been characterizing them as ones in which I've made, quote, mistakes, I haven't ripped out any of them. They all still exist in their finished, if somewhat problematic, state. I make a lot of yarn, and I actually don't mind using some of it to learn stuff, and I like having... This is perverse, I think, but I like having the projects that went a little bit wrong around as a reminder to not repeat the same mistake. And I just really hope that it's going to take this time with respect to things I can wear around my neck. You can share your stories of handspun projects that have gone awry, and I would love to hear them. As always, there is a post in the Flock, Sheepspot's free online community for inquisitive hand spinners, dedicated to comments on and discussion of this episode. I will link to that thread in the show notes, which you can find at sheepspot.com/podcast/episode97. That's it for me this time. I will be back next time with another episode and a new theme. We're going to be working on drafting. So while you're waiting for that fun to start, go ahead and spin something. You know it will do you good. Have you joined the Flock yet? The Flock is Sheepspot's free online community for inquisitive hand spinners. As a member, you'll get access to a complete library of podcast episodes, all the free resources I've created for the podcast, several self-guided challenges, our Friday spinning check-in, and more. Head to theflock.sheepspot.com to sign up.